Campus FM presents Talking Eds, a program brought to you by students from the International Masters in Adult Education for Social Change, who are studying currently at the University of Malta.
Hello and welcome to the second show of Talking Eds Season 2, presented by students of International Masters in Adult Education for Social Change Cohort 2. I am Sabrina from Bangladesh, your host for the day. So listeners, if you can remember, last week we asked you a question: if you think arts can contribute to adult education. On this show, we will be discussing about arts in adult education. Today, we have Irini from Greece and Dania from Honduras with us. Hello, Irini. Hello, Dania.
Hello. Hello, Sabrina.
Hello.
I hope you remembered them from our introductory show. So today, we are going to talk about how arts can contribute in adult education. To illustrate, we will have a general view on the role of arts in adult education from the countries being represented today, as well as a story on arts being implemented in informal settings and a very remarkable class experience during the beginning of our IMASC course. For this, we are going to start with Irini. Irini, would you like to elaborate on the topic?
Hello, Sabrina. Yes, absolutely. So nowadays, globalization and neoliberalism have turned societies into commercialized hubs that target mostly employability skills. Sadly, the essence of collectivity and solidarity are fading away, and lifelong learning focuses on promoting technical competencies. Therefore, in many cases, arts are considered a hobby instead of being valued as a powerful process of developing well-rounded and holistic personalities. It's not a rare case where arts are not a priority, and a community or even a society underestimate the power of creativity and personal expression. For adults, arts can be a relief, an opportunity to reactivate, strengthen, and develop the happiness that has been lost during years and years of struggle. With this having been said, I want to invite Dania to join in the conversation. So Dania, you have a story to share with us about an arts project that you were a part of back in Honduras. Can you please tell us more about it?
Thank you, Irini, and thank you all for giving me the space to share with you this personal experience. My experience started in 2011, back in my city, Tegucigalpa, which is the capital of Honduras, in cooperation with the CCET, Spanish Cultural Center, and MUA, Women in Arts, a workshop on pantomime was offered. To start with, please let me tell you a bit about what is pantomime. Pantomime involves communication through corporal expression, relying mostly on your body as the main tool of communication. Also, imitation of nature and creativity, using all these in order to create scenarios and stories based on real-life situations. Since I was involved in the theater group of my university, I wanted to get in depth in this area without actually knowing that a project was intended to be launched after the end of the workshop.
Wow, that is incredible. But can you tell us a bit more about this campaign? For example, who was involved in this project? Could you somehow involve any other institution to promote your causes?
Yes, Sabrina. Participants of this workshop were theater artists and all people interested in learning about it. After the workshop, we also were trained by the traffic police of the city. All this training was applied in the project with the name Minds for Traffic Education. Through the implementation of this project, we had the opportunity to raise awareness on traffic education. For instance, respecting pedestrians in driving safely. At the same time, we combine pantomime to break the daily routine of the citizens by creating short sketches and interaction with the drivers and the pedestrians during traffic light time. Whenever the traffic light wasn't red, we would make sure the drivers would make enough and safe space for our pedestrians to cross the street. During the same time, some other mimes would be performing sketches. Also, we reminded the drivers and the passengers to use their seatbelt. And yes, the project somehow was extended, and as a complementary part of the project, we were invited to schools in the city and promote values such as responsibility, also traffic education, collaboration, among others. Another important aspect to point out was the coverage and support that national and international media gave. The project ran for 7 months, and the different reactions of the citizens were positive and some negative. Overall, a great learning experience within the community.
Oh, that's very interesting indeed. So I want to ask you, what did you learn about yourself through that experience?
Oh, interesting question, Irene. I learned many things, and mostly tough lessons. This type of projects require a lot of bravery, because on streets you are completely vulnerable before any reaction of the citizens, whether they are pedestrians or drivers. However, the most important lesson I learned was that even though your intentions are positive towards people and you are passionate about the positive social impact, those changes happen gradually. And 7 months of a project would not be enough to make a greater change. I realized that some years later, after a taxi driver hit my knee during this project, showing his rejection about it. Another situation we encountered was that some adults found this project very immature or informal. Some insults or negative comments were hurled at us. Still, at that moment, arts in my country was an activity that was not seen as a profession, rather was a waste of time. Fortunately, I can say with confidence that now things are changing in my country.
Oh, that is serious. I hope you are all right now. You just told us about a negative experience. Can you share any positive reaction?
Yeah, sure, Sabrina. Those were only some of the reactions of people against the project, of course, and something very unexpected to me, because you think that people will receive an initiative like this in a very positive way, but it wasn't. And on the positive side of it, the majority of people really enjoy it, because they were encouraged to learn, but at the same time, we could break the stressing routine that a busy city produces. I can recall different drivers from food business, pedestrians, or street vendors giving away their products to us. That was really rewarding for us.
Welcome back to Talking at Season 2, presented by IMASC Cohort 2. Today we are discussing about arts in adult education. Before the break, Dania was sharing her experience about working in an awareness campaign using theater. And Dania was explaining that there are some positive reactions as well as some negative reactions among the community people. But now my question is for Irini. Do you think there is any positive aspects of using arts in adult education?
Well, I believe that arts can strengthen the ability of shaping and accepting one's private cultural identity. What I mean is that in a world which is more and more divided and scattered, it is vital for people to become reattached to spiritual things, which are unifying and offer energy. The initiation in arts leads to a person's connection to the spiritual traditions of their community, the awareness of the tradition and history of the group, the community, and the national identity. Artistic joy is given in this situation, as well as by the shaping and discovery of our own cultural inner values that allow us to familiarize ourselves with other cultures. I have actually seen this happening when I was back in Greece, and I was working with an NGO to bring the young people of the community together. The goal was to reenact the traditions and the cultural happenings through the arts. So as a community, we felt that we were forgetting our traditions and we did not pass them on to the younger generation. So we decided to act and we collected knowledge and we made it available to everyone in the community and especially the youth through theater, music, photography, dance and drawing. We actually saw a huge improvement to the engagement of the community, and everyone felt closer not only to the traditions and each other, but also to their inner self.
Wow, that's interesting. I agree, and I would like to add, through arts, it is easier to reach a lot of people in very short time and effectively. The reason I'm saying effectively is because, like Irini said, it connects people on different level. It is easier to reach people's heart and mind. For example, I have seen in Bangladesh that the information given through play, postering on wall, photo exhibition, flash mob attracts many people's attention and is far more sustainable. It stays on people's mind with a vivid picture. Especially, I would like to mention about visual arts, for example, painting, photography, graphic theater, etc., just like Irini already said. I have worked with many artists and photojournalists in my country to create awareness regarding current issues, for example, environmental issues, injustice, inclusive learning environment, etc., that not only managed to attract a large number of population's attention, but also drew attention of many influential people who are working in public and private sector of the country. It is very important to aware people in order to take decision regarding various personal and national issues. Educating through arts can motivate people to take action as it can connect people on emotional level. And I believe it also encourages the sense of solidarity and unity.
Those are great thoughts, guys. And I indeed think that what you guys have mentioned are very important benefits from arts. Arts in all their diverse representations and forms offer many benefits, which makes me think of the sense of belonging and cooperation that is promoted and built from my experience with theater. For instance, when working in a creative process, I feel everybody is able to cooperate with resources, ideas, experiences. And in this way, all the participants learn to value every small effort put into building and achieving a common goal. At the same time, adults enjoy the process of sharing with people that they feel comfortable with, leaving aside the sense of isolation.
Back to Talking Ed's Season 2, presented by IMASC Cohort 2. Today we are discussing about arts in adult education. Before the break, Dania was sharing her experience in educating a community through theater, and we were discussing about the benefits of arts in adult education. Now we are going to talk about some challenges. Dania, have you faced any challenges while implementing this project? What did you find to be most challenging aspects?
Maybe the most difficult part was to realize that raising awareness is not enough and can be only a first step to educate. And I cannot emphasize enough the time factor. If you consider that this project ran for 7 months, 3 hours during weekdays, plus advertisements, all of us participating with our image and an educational message all around the city, still, that was not enough for our desires and expectations for an authentic social change. Probably the way the project was done did not involve the citizens in a more active manner, since they were mainly recipients of all this project. Still, some questions remain for me, and one of it was where and how do we start educating our citizens in these matters?
I see. I would say that from where you started, Dania, is fine. Since regarding awareness, there can't be a starting point or ending point. It is kind of an ongoing process. Irini, do you agree?
Yeah, most definitely. And I also have a question. So, according to what you told us so far, Dania, when implementing an arts project, we need to pay extra attention to the program's sustainability. How do you think we can achieve that?
Well, Irini, that is exactly what I was reflecting after my experience. Educate our community in different aspects and ways, it has never been easy. I can attempt to answer your question by saying, firstly, that we need to understand and know our context and local community. This sort of project is undoubtedly a great tool to raise awareness, yet I believe all citizens can start being educated in alternative educational spaces and go over different themes. For instance, in Honduras, there is a school for parents or tutors where they reflect and discuss about school performance of children, family relationships, and any other issues related to school. And this, I believe, can be extended to promote and expose different other themes as traffic education. Another important mean to take advantage of is media, since currently the major exposure to information is being spread mainly on TV and social network.
Oh, I see. That is very interesting. Sabrina, what do you think about this?
Well, I think sustainability is an important issue, especially when it comes to any project. I have seen, while working in Bangladesh, many good projects which had positive outcomes in the community. However, after the end of it, everything went back to the old routine. Because the lack of sustainability, in the end, the result seems to be zero. So I would say we need to come up with a sustainability strategy in order to continue the good practice of any project, especially any educational project.
So basically, what you suggest is ensuring that an arts campaign follows the same principles of a project management. What I mean is that we should make sure that there is a plan in place after the realization for the continuation of the project and make the community part of it, so there are people that will safeguard and develop it further.
Absolutely. But I also think that people who are working on these projects somehow needs to create a mechanism to give some authority to the community people from the start of the project, so that the community can own it and take it forward without even trying to do that from the project point of view. And after the end of project, it can go on for a really long time.
Thank you, Sabrina. So we have been talking about using arts to educate people in informal settings. Do you think this works in the formal setting as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we can mention some methods that are applicable in the classroom and we experience firsthand during our semester in Glasgow. What comes to my mind, really, is the Theatre of the Oppressed. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course I do. In fact, Dania and I took part in it. Although it was not like a whole theater, it was more like a method to portray a situation without having to think about the literacy level of the people. Actually, this method can work in both informal and formal settings. So the activity was to represent our education system through a living statue image, where few of our classmates acted as students and some other as administrator and education officials. The portrait showed how administrators of different levels hold a leverage on the people who are working below them. For example, the students were controlled by the teachers were controlled by the head teacher was controlled by the education officials or bureaucrats, etc.
Yes, I also recall being part of the representation we did. Sabrina, I, and few of our classmates that participated were creating an image of a theme Sabrina mentioned. The image we built allowed interpretation, discussion, and active participation from the audience to be able to explore the possibilities of change of the image, but beyond that, a way to change the problem that was raised.
That's right, yes. I remember that very vividly. And I remember how engaging the process was. I was in the audience and it was highly compelling. Our classmates actually stood up and made a circle around the stage that the theater was presented. It was so intriguing and very different from the traditional methods of lecturing. Thinking back to that moment, there was a huge impact to my concepts and mindset. What I mean is that the process opened to me a whole new prism, and without the use of any words, I reconsidered many of my ideas about the educational system, the power dynamics, and my impact as an educator. It made me wonder where I stand in the hierarchical structure and how I could influence the environment around me.
I agree. Actually, the difference between this process and the regular lecture was, at least from my perspective, it was more intruding for all the students and piqued their interest to take part in the discussion that was going on around the class. Regardless to say, it was a group activity where everyone was taking part from their own interest. Even for me, I can still remember the discussion I had with my classmates. I would certainly call it a sustainable learning.
It is very interesting knowing perspectives from the side of the performers, Sabrina and me, and audience, Irini. But my last question on this remarkable class experience we had is, do you see further possibilities of application of this tool of theater of the oppressed in any other adult education setting?
Well, I definitely do see many possibilities to use it in the classroom settings. It can be used to teach language, history, social science, anything, you name it. It can not only be used in higher education, but also in primary and secondary education. Especially, I think it is a great tool to make adults to be aware about the situation and also to create knowledge by discussing, interpreting, and evaluating those situations. Earlier, I said a little bit about visual arts, which affects us on emotional level. I believe this type of tools create more participation in the classroom.
That's right. Arts can be an engaging and a more impactful alternative way of learning. Since they facilitate connections with emotions and feelings, they can affect the learners in a deeper and more essential level. They can be an unforgettable experience for children, adults, communities, and educators. Traditional teaching is being challenged, and alternative ways are explored. Therefore, arts are summoned to serve as a process of breaking free from lecturing and pure knowledge transferring. It is vital that we realize that humans are multidimensional creatures, and as educators, we need to cultivate not only the mind, but also the heart and the feelings of our learners. We need to change our approach, and with the use of arts, to create a unique lifelong learning journey for everyone.
And we are back. But before we finish the show, maybe we can introduce another method of implementing arts in a formal setting. Irini?
Yeah. So what comes in my mind is the use of Aesop's fables. So they are short stories, usually about animals, with a moral ending. They can be used not only to allow discussion and literacy, but also promote critical social issues as trust, inclusion, respect, cooperation, creativity, even critical thinking, empathy, and appreciation. Namely, all the values that are required to build a strong community and foster bonding between people. Coming from Greece, I have grown up with these fables, and they were always part of my education. Have you ever used them, Dania?
Oh, that's very interesting, Irini. And yes, I have. As an English teacher, Aesop fables have become into a great tool when teaching the language. Since not only young learners can learn from it, but also adults in different levels of English. We educators and learners can take advantage of the condensed contents and the morals they convey. The fables can be explored in many ways and be used as the educator sees fit, according to the learning aspirations, of course. For instance, I can mention how I used them in the past. I remember one group of adult learners I taught English level A1. We developed discussions over the plot and analyzed morals given in the fables, which made us realize the value of universality these fables have by being able to apply them in any context.
That is actually a great observation. What I mean is that they are uniquely written in a way that crosses borders, cultures, and languages. It all comes down to the human nature of people and touches the core feelings and emotions of everyone. And this is the effect that we need to have as educators, Dania. We need to support our learners to explore their inner world.
Definitely, Irini, I agree with you. Arts give endless possibilities, and in this show we have just had a small taste of it. We first discussed a general panorama of arts from our country's background. Then I share with you my experience on implementing pantomime in an informal setting. And then we moved to our classroom experience with a tool of theater of the oppressed. Both of them proved to be daring and innovative within these settings. I'm completely sure that our audience have also experiences of this sort.
So, thank you, Dania and Irini, for sharing and discussing your personal experience and thoughts regarding arts as tool for adult education in informal and formal settings. We have reached the end of our show, but before that, some food for our listeners' thought. Do you think, is there any way to apply technology in non-formal and informal education setting? With this, me, Sabrina, Dania and Irini saying our goodbye for the day. Grazie Hafna for listening to us.
Thank you so much, Sabrina, Dania.
Thank you very much, girls, and thank you, our audience, for listening to us.